Title of what I want to share with you this morning is In 2019, Dive into Your Spiritual Bucket List. Of course, I can't show you an exact verse in the Bible where it mentions bucket list. But I am sure that you have heard this idea of 100 things to do before you die. You know, write a bucket list. You can print them off on the internet if you want one. You know, what I want to do before I die. Well, I want to say to you, I believe God wants us to have a spiritual bucket list that says, what can I do while I'm alive? Yeah? Because you know you won't have to pray in heaven. Right? I don't know about you, getting up early is not always easy, is it? Right? So all praying will end. You'll still want to worship because you'll be thankful that you're there. Yeah? Some of you new ones, you need to know some of the old stories that used to bless us. You know, when we get out going up towards heaven and we see on the gates of heaven, it says, whosoever will may come. And then we find that we go through the gates, and as they close behind us, we turn around and look, and it says, chosen in Christ. We didn't know that God had his hand upon us, as he always has. That's why I don't believe in mistakes. I don't believe in happenstances. I believe that everything in our lives, God's planned. He knows what you're going to have for your lunch, even though you don't, Amanda. That's exactly. My wife says, what's for lunch today? She says, I'll see what's in the freezer. I don't want it in the freezer. I want it in here. And so 100 spiritual things to do. Now, I've not got 100 points this morning. But who said that, Amy? Did you ever get any commendation for being the... I wasn't here, but... Did he? Well, praise the Lord. Yeah. Okay. There you go. So, I haven't got 100 points. But I do want you to show that I believe that this is very biblical. One of the things that I've always been challenged about, many years ago I heard a man speak from the Authorized Version of the Bible, and he spoke about Abraham and Lot. And he took it out of context, but you know the story, he said that Lot chose the plain, but Abraham went up the mountain. There's a spiritual lesson there, you know. The longer we have been a Christian, we can sometimes just get into a normality of doing the plain. But I don't know about you, I believe God's still got some things in my spiritual bucket list to do before he decides to take me upstairs, yeah? And we don't want to get into a place where everything just simply becomes, we know what's going to happen, we know what we'll do, we know where we're going on holiday this year. Life needs some excitement, don't you think so? Yeah? Just life in itself needs some excitement. And you know, I believe walking with the Lord is designed to be an adventure. And we must be aware in our lives that it's up to us to obey God and find out what he's got for us in our bucket list. So I'm going to press this and see if it works. Didn't think so. There you go. Switched on. Yeah, switched on. Is it forward and backwards on the button? Oh. Ah. So, can you read that? No, neither can I. Praise God. I'll have to hold my varifocals right at the top just to be able to read that. So, what I'm going to tell you is that actually, believe it or not, is Joshua 14, 6 to 12, and I have booked in for a course on PowerPoints this year. But I, of course, can I just ask, How many people have actually brought a Bible today? Oh, good. Shall I ask who hasn't? No, that wouldn't be fair. But I want to tell you, this book has changed my life. And I'm glad for things like that. But I can hold my Bible a lot nearer. Yeah? So Joshua 14 and verses 6 to 12. That's what's up there if you've got telescopic eyes. But it says this. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb and the son of Jephunneh, their Kenazite, all of these words, and your Kenazite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I was brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. They made their courage fail," the translation puts it. "But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God.' And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old." Somebody's got to say amen to that from some generation in here today. "As yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore," say this with me please, "give me this mountain." That's not convincing at all. I wouldn't give you a molehill for that. Let's try it again, shall we? "Now therefore, of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how the Anakim were there, and the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Now, a little bit of background on this, obviously, but what I've done today to help you. No? Wrong way. Ah! There you go. Can you read that? Okay. That's merely what I'm going to be my points this morning as I move along. But here's what happened. Israel had come out of Egypt where they'd been slaves 400 years plus. And they disobeyed God, so they wandered around the wilderness for many years, 40 years actually. Then they came under new leadership with Joshua to actually cross the River Jordan and go into the promised land, yeah? And so they spent numerous years possessing the land of Canaan. Still contested today, as you will know, if you watch the news. And they went into that land, and their task from God was to go in, conquer it, possess it, and then dwell in it forever. But something had not gone quite right. And I want to use this as a spiritual analogy for you this morning. Because how many of you know it's not how we start, it's how we finish? Yeah? And what happened to Israel was simply this. That they had gone in, but some of those who had gone in with them had retreated. Manasseh went back the other side of Jordan. Then some had begun to conquer, but stopped off and became friends with their enemies. Now that would be all right if you were looking at the New Testament context where Jesus says, "Love your enemies." But here, there was a reason that God said, "Get rid of your enemies." Because they were totally evil. And I don't think, unless you hear some of the things that are going on in parts of the world today, that kind of evil that's going on was commonplace amongst the Canaanites. And God didn't want his people to be party to that or with that. But what they'd done is, rather than going and possess and remove their enemies, they'd actually begun to settle with them and not possess what God had given them. And so there were great chunks that were never possessed. Never became theirs. Now let me say to you now, I believe, according to Paul, he said, before I was born, God knew me. Yeah, Jeremiah says the same thing. And so I believe this morning that anybody who is in Christ is a new creation. And that God has given us a future. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, I have plans to bless you, to give you hope and a future. I want you to possess everything that I have planned for you. One of the things we have to grasp is that when they went through the River Jordan, it was a picture, as was Moses through the Red Sea, of the beginning of their new life. And so Jesus coming into our lives and cleansing our sin and making us a new person and filling us with the Holy Spirit, they are what are called elementary things in Hebrews 6. They are the things that are the beginnings of your life. But you know, God's got so much more for you that He wants you to understand, that He wants you to experience, that He wants you to believe for. But we sometimes have the same problem as Israel. So we come in and it all goes well for a while and then we actually retreat. How many have already done that? God said to do something and you retreated from doing it. And actually, when you retreated, you found rather than you get stronger, to begin with, it got stronger. Whatever it was. And so, also, we were told to go and conquer and possess and to do the things that God has planned for our lives as we read Scripture. There's so many things that I don't need Angel Gabriel to tell me about because they're written already for me. God tells me how to have a successful life, how to have a successful marriage. Yeah, God tells me that He wants to bless me and He wants to bless you. And there's 100 other things in there, at least, that God says, I give every born-again believer these things for them to possess. But we have got to go and possess them. And so, here's the background to this story. They're dividing up the west part of the land. And there's this elderly man called Caleb. And he goes up to Joshua. And he says, Joshua, I want to tell you, today for me is a milestone. See, that day, he was 85 years of age. You know, as our years pass, it's very good for us to review our lives. Yeah? Take a review. Are you heading towards the things that you believed 4 or 5 years ago? Are you any nearer them? Have you possessed them? And so, 85th birthday, they're dividing up the land, and Joshua has this man standing in front of him, and he says, I just want to remind you, Joshua, that it was me and you 45 years ago that went into the land to spy out this land that God would give us. And the story's in the book of Numbers. You'll find it there. 12 spies were sent out. And 10 came back and they said, oh, it's too hard, it's too tough, they're too big, they're too angry, whatever. And Joshua and Caleb, here in this story, they came back to Moses and said, yeah, there's all those things opposing us, but God is with us. And the grapes are so big, you have to carry them on a stick across 2 shoulders. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Let's go up and do it. But the people didn't. They listened to the others. Now, there's a good point for you to notice here as you're going into 2019, because this is a milestone, isn't it? Next Sunday, we'll be in it. But the milestone is this. What voices are you listening to? What voices are you listening to? Because the majority wasn't right. The majority is not always right. Whether that comes from your friends, your family, or others. Joshua remembered what had happened between him and Caleb. And so when Caleb came to him, he said, listen, I've reached this milestone and I've realized I've still got things on my bucket list to do. There's still things that God promised me that I've yet to fulfill. I'm sure he had many things that were fulfilled. But here's my first point. Review what God has placed in your spiritual bucket list. I want to say to you today, the more you read God's word, you find that when a person's in Christ, you actually begin to live under God's yes, not a no. Yeah? Because in Christ Jesus, it's yes and amen. And the word amen means, let it be so. That means blessing. Yeah. Let it be something that God can bless on your life. So however long you've been a Christian, I want to tell you this is so important that you begin to listen and to take in God's word. Because God's word fills you with promises, with hope, with assurance. So if we don't take in God's word, and let me tell you, as a senior pastor this morning, some of you are not taking in enough scripture. Somebody shout amen. Because the book can only change your life if you take it in. And you believe above all other text, above all other words, this is the word of the Lord. So how many of us who've been Christians any length of time have had anybody speak a word over our lives? Is there anybody here this morning? You've had a word spoken over your life. Somebody came to you in a meeting and said, I feel God said this to you. Or you were in a conference, or you went somewhere and God spoke to your life. And as yet, it's not been fulfilled. Well, then it's still in your spiritual bucket list. As far as God's concerned, He wants you to give attention to it. He wants you to say, well, did that really happen? You see, you don't always expect it. Some of you would have heard me mention before, when I was 11 years old, it was the end of a church service, and sometimes I see these young lads walking around and talking, playing on the... Well, we never had that kind of gadget then, but we used to find even nicer things to do, like cut our names in the back of church with a penknife, which probably was more destructive than playing a war game on a computer. But the truth was, I wasn't that interested at 11 years old in God. But a visiting speaker was saying goodbye to my mum and dad and my older brother and my sister, who are now dead and gone. And he looked at me and he said, I don't know why, but I see this young man standing in front of thousands of black and brown people. And my mum says, did you hear that? I ain't got a clue what he's on about. But when I was 30 years of age and I'm stood in Brazil about to speak to a congregation of over 20,000 black and brown people, God reminded me that He keeps His promises. Yeah? Now yours might not be to do with preaching, because I'm called to serve God and preach the Word of God. But I want to tell you there's still many other things in your life. Some of you need to grab a hold that God really is your health. Yeah? God really is Jehovah Jireh who provides. Yeah? And so those great promises of who Jehovah was to Israel now come in Christ to us. And so Joshua believed, as he looked at his life, there's something yet that is mine and I haven't possessed it. Yeah? So he went to Joshua and he said, I've had a look. And I've got a prophetic promise. Can you remember? You stood with me on that day when I said to Moses, let's go in. And Moses said from God to me, every place you put your foot will be yours. And he said, I spent 40 years going around the wilderness and not one scrap of that wilderness belonged to me. Because it was only when I got into the place that God had promised us that I could then claim that land. I found this, that getting into the place where God wants you to be enables you to claim the promises and see them fulfilled. There's a cooperation that's required of the church. There's a cooperation that's required of the believer. And I believe God can do anything, but I want to tell you, sometimes I think we overdo the abracadabra God. We need to realize God's just waiting for us to cooperate with him. Yeah? Saying, well, I'm willing, I'm ready, the promises are there. What about a little faith? What about a little stepping into it? What a bit of changing your routine in your life? What about making sure that you're living in the right place for my blessing to be upon you? So, what I love about Caleb here, he's 85 years of age, and basically what he's saying is this: I don't care what age I am, Joshua, God has not finished with me yet. Now, he was saying it 45 years earlier, so this is not an ageism thing, yeah? All through his life, he believed there was more for him from God. And if God had said it, he believed it, and that settled it. So, he said, Lord, I've never took that land, that mountain that you promised me. So I just want to let Joshua know today that I'm renewing my commitment to your promises over my life. Now, what happens is, as the moment you do this, there's also a memory of how big the enemy is. He said, you remember that they said the Anakims were in this land that I'm after. And the Anakims were the most formidable warriors, right? And they had strengthened all their cities with fortifications and whatever. So you had to go up to them all. You can't go down a mountain unless you're up there. So it was going to be hard. So he knew that there would be some things that would be against them, but he believed that God was bigger. When we actually decide that there's land for us to possess, no matter what comes against us, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? I don't know what you're setting out for 2019. I would hope you're doing a little bit of planning. Anybody booked their holidays yet? Here you go. So, the rest of you are all staying at home. Which is not a bad thing. I don't know about you, but Christmas is the only time we get holiday at home. The rest of the time you have to go away. But it's good to plan. Anybody got a plan to be somewhere else in their career this year? Anybody believing for some exams to be passed, to go into another level? Yeah? Surely there must be. Yeah, one. I see that hand. Yeah? Oh, two hands. Yeah, there you go. So we make plans. Anybody planning to get married this year? You haven't met her yet. Don't give up, Bryn. Good to see you, mate. But in our natural lives, we make plans. I hope you'll be thinking about your children and about their education if you're parents. You'll be thinking about things you're going to do and plan in the natural. But can I appeal to you this morning that actually, just as our Heavenly Father looks down at you, he has plans for you. He has plans for you, and he wants you to begin to believe that if there is a commitment in your heart to the prophetic promises that he spoke over your life, that they can be fulfilled in 2019. Yeah? I don't know about you, but I'm old enough now to realize reruns are not that interesting. Yeah? How many people have watched a film more than once? Come on, let's have a look at you. How many have watched the same film more than five times? The word sado comes to mind, but I won't dwell there. How many have watched a film more than 10 times? Oh, my own daughter. My own daughter. Look at you. Look at you. Oh, wow. See, when I had three daughters at home, and they used to watch Sleepless in Seattle, I used to actually get the tissues out before it started, because I knew exactly when they were going to start to cry. Yeah? Anyway, I'm off the point. I don't know about you, I think God's got more fun than a rerun. Amen? Wouldn't it be exciting if God filled this building twice over in 2019? Wouldn't it be exciting if people who this year had just began to feel stirrings of God in their life went into some enormous new level of ministry for God? Yeah? Wouldn't it be amazing if what we've prayed and seen about God healing the sick, we actually saw people instantaneously healed of cancer and getting out of wheelchairs. Yeah? Wouldn't it be wonderful if this year two or three of your work colleagues came to know Christ? And all things that Jesus says are possible. He says, listen, greater things can you do. Will you do? Because I go to my Father. So I just want to tell you that renewing your commitment to what God has said in His Word and said over your life is so important if you're going to fulfill it. But I have to recognize areas that I've not possessed. Recognize areas that I haven't possessed and realize why. Well, you see, Caleb could have said this about that mountain area. It's too difficult. How Satan loves to tell us it's too difficult. Yeah? It's too difficult. I can't do it. Well, I did take a bit one time, but the enemy came back in. Or maybe it's like, well, I did have a passion for that at one time, but it doesn't seem to be there much now. Well, I haven't got enough time. Actually, I've got other interests. All kinds of reasons that we can bring. And usually ends up with us coming to a place that we've never quite completed or finished what we started. But you know, God always wants to complete what He starts. That's what Philippians 1 verse 6 says. You remember that song by Godfrey Birtle? We've got to finish what we started. We can't stop now. I listened to that the other day. I thought how powerful that song is. It means that we have to get up and think about what's got to change in our lives. See, the reason we don't possess is simply because of opposition. We have an enemy. Please wake up to that, church in England. Whenever I travel around the world, a lot of the church faces day by day struggles with violence, with lack of promotion because of their Christian faith, with all kinds of things. In China at the moment, building after building is being confiscated by Christian believers of house church movements. Yeah? Basil sent me pictures just two or three days ago, just before Christmas, of heads all split open. Right in Andhra Pradesh, where we've been, in Maharashtra, where Christians have been violently assaulted. We need to realize that we might not get that, but He does love to come to our homes and try and cause conflict in our homes. He likes to come and get our minds off God onto lesser things. He's very cunning. He uses what He can. Or it may be that you say, oh, well, I used to have the strength, but I'm too weary. Can I say to you retired people this morning, right, I'm not quite there yet for another 4 years at least, but as far as God's concerned, I'll never retire. It's very easy to get sometimes into a retirement mindset. You know, retirement means you can do more. Because you don't have to go to work 40 hours a week. So it means all the things that you said, if I only had time, you've now got one. See, my wife, in her wisdom, heard me saying many times, I'll get around to it. So she bought me one. She gave it me in the car. She says, here, darling, I bought you this. I opened it up. He says, this is around to it. Now you've got one, you can do everything you say you're waiting to do when you get around to it. That was it. No excuses anymore. And we've got to be aware that there's a mindset in our nation of, oh, it's too much. Listen, can I tell you, that can come from the enemy. Because when you get up and shake yourself down and do something about it, you realize it is worth doing. I mean, we got a log burner, you know, a wood burner. And I love it. I love it on the evening when we're all gathered around it. It's keeping us warm. Put the chestnuts on the top. It's beautiful. But when I have to go out in the rain and cut the logs, oh, I tell you. Mary has to push me out almost. You know? And I've got to get a chainsaw out and and all that kind of stuff and whatever. But to get the other side of the blessing, you've got to actually face up to the difficulties. Caleb knew, he said, I know there's going to be enemies to go up that mountain, but we're going to possess it. And do you know what? A lot of our problems are not to do with the physical, it's to do with the mental. It's to do with our mindset here. So, let's quickly wind up. Is it tiredness? Maybe 2018 you've had a bit of health problems. You've had some sickness. Well, I want to tell you, 2019 is going to be your healing year. Amen. Or maybe it's been an attack on your family. I know a bit about that this year. But I tell you what it's done. It's just drove me to a greater dependency on God. Only God can sort some things out. But I believe He will. Yeah? So don't use them as excuses. Maybe you've had a failure. Can you imagine in that New Testament context where Paul and Barnabas have took John Mark with them, that young fella, and they take him on a missionary trip and he really messes up bad. And so they're going on the next trip and Paul says, I ain't going with him. He's not ready. Send him back. And Barnabas was much more generous and loving. Paul was a tough cookie. Not many of you want to work with Paul. Some of you think I'm tough. You won't want to work with him, I'll tell you. And basically, he said, no, he's not ready. Send him back. That failure could have finished him. But I believe Paul had the wisdom to know that there was enough of God in John Mark to say how he reacts to this failure is going to be what makes him. Yeah? So can you imagine the day when he got that letter from Paul that says, bring John Mark with you because he's profitable to me for the ministry. Ah, I thought I was a failure. But Paul shows there's still something in me that can be used by God. He had a failure this year. God wants to bring you over it. He wants to bring you through. 2019 ain't got to be a rerun. Yeah? Over a failure. Maybe you're afraid to pick something up again. But you know what happens if we go down that route? If Caleb had gone down that route, what would happen is this. The past would start dictating the future. Well, I can't do it. I can't do it. So we start living out of our car windscreen mirror rather than the windscreen. Looking back all the time rather than looking forward. I want to tell you this year, your life in God's plan will be better in 2019. Yeah? And even if you leave us to go heavenward, it's better. For to be with Christ is far better. So stop worrying about that. Another 5 pills won't help you. You know, I go to some people's houses and you go down to the kitchens, you know, when we're staying away and that, and you think, oh, there's the coffee, there's the thing. And there's the pot of vitamins. Man alive, there's more vitamins than I ever took in my whole life in one pot. And open them up and this one, 2 of them, 3 of them, 4 of them. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I felt like getting a felt tip pen out and putting my faith is in God. No, they're not in. So we are the problem. Yes, we can feel tired, but listen to me. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. Yeah? So I can't get... No excuse. God still holds on, has hold on me for the planet in my life. Don't allow anyone else or anything else to make you finish. Others may have finished, Caleb said. Joshua, you might have even settled down. But I ain't finished yet. Sometimes we need to face up to that. I'm remembering what God said. The New Testament puts it this way. Fan into flame what you had. Yeah? Let it rise up again. A passion in your heart. A zeal for God. The word zeal meaning eagerness and passion. Heartily from the soul. Psalm 144 says, well, I can't pray like I used to. Well, Psalm 144, he trains my hands for war. Yeah? That was a spiritual sense. David's saying, listen, when I'm with God, he shows me what to do, how to win battles. What a great thing when somebody comes and said, I've had this against me, but I've prayed it through. And God has brought me through into victory. So we can possess. Don't forget something here. What Caleb did is important to all of us. Even if you're only a Christian for a few weeks. Already, you'll have found that God has done something for you. And Caleb was quick to remind Joshua, I'm remembering what God has done before. Can you remember when we went in the promised land, when we came back and said, God can do it? And now we're here. God has fulfilled his promises. Any testimony that you've had in your life is a stepping stone for God giving you more land to possess. More things to do. Maybe somebody's here this morning. I don't know everybody's faith. Maybe you're in more deeper level of ministry in your life at some time, but you've backed off, or you've failed, or your marriage went, or something. I want to tell you, God's still calling you today. He hasn't finished with you yet. Remember his past testimonies. Remember when the fire used to burn. Remember, he's still got a vision. See, friends, this morning, I want to tell you the most wonderful thing of all. We've got somebody who actually goes before us and says to us today, come on. Come on, church. Come on, person. You remember? He went from heaven into this world. We've just celebrated it. It tells us of Jesus. He didn't stop halfway. He went all the way. He set his face like a flint. He cried out on the cross, it's finished. See, Paul said these, you can't kill me, I'm already dead. Yeah? I'm not my own, I've been bought with a price. God gives life to us, brothers and sisters, that no one can take away. And he's not finished with you yet. Take that mountain in 2019. I believe that's a promise today for us. If you will allow the Holy Spirit to rekindle the promises of God in your life, if you'll refocus on Jesus Christ in your daily living and in your serving, you can rise up and fulfill your spiritual bucket list in 2019. I don't know where you start. I know at the beginning of 2018, I said to God, give me more love. Then my daughter's marriage failed. I said, God, I didn't expect this. He said, that's how I'm going to give you more love. Don't always expect that they'll be a bed of roses. Sometimes there's a cross to carry. But it produces in you what God wants. Yeah? Are you ready for a bit of pain so you can have some fulfilled promise? Yeah? Are you ready for that? What's in your bucket list? Let's close in prayer this morning. There may be time afterwards for ministry if people want to come, and me and my wife and others will pray for you. But right at this point, I just want to say to you, I believe this is a milestone, just like as it was for Joshua, just like as it was for Caleb. Caleb could say, today, I'm 85 years of age. It's a milestone for me, but I'm still wanting all the promises and purpose of God to be fulfilled in my life. And I'm going to possess them by faith, by the power of God. Heavenly Father, I pray today that as we go into 2019, you will help people to know that you are for them, not against them. I pray, oh God, if God is for us, who can be against us? Will become something that becomes a reality in every person's life here today. Lord, we ask you. We ask you, Lord, that at the end of next year, should you continue to give us life, there will be things that we've ticked off. I pray that people, Lord, who've got battles with prayer will win the victory. People who've got battles with the Holy Spirit will surrender to his leading. People who've got battles with health will find healing. People who have got battles with witness will become those who've shared Christ with many people. We pray, oh God, that you will give us a new mindset and an understanding. We want to be a Jesus-driven church. We want to be Jesus-driven individuals. And we believe no matter how we've failed, we can say, Lord, the words of Micah 7, verse 8, Lord, this morning to you and to each other, don't gloat over me, my enemy. Though I fall, I will rise again. Thank you, Jesus, that any failure that's gone on in our life does not restrict your purposes. Your delays do not mean denial. We pray, oh God, today that you will help us to press in and possess everything you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.